got fires eating away at California every year because management is so bad. The governor doesn't know. He's like a child. He doesn't know what he's doing. And I've been telling him this for 2 years. They've got to take care of it. Every year, it's always California. Never, it's rarely somebody else or someplace else.
President Donald Trump yesterday criticizing California Governor Gavin Newsom over the state's handling of wildfires. The two spent the weekend going back and forth on Twitter, with Newsom tweeting back, "You don't believe in climate change. You are excused from this conversation." Newsom is also criticizing PG&E, threatening a state takeover of the utility if it can't pull itself out of bankruptcy in the next year. And Governor Gavin Newsom joins me now. Welcome.
Good to be with you.
First, your response to the president's threat to cut federal aid to California over the state's handling of wildfires?
It's consistent, par for the course. He did that during the Brown administration. He did that in Ukraine, done that in many other circumstances in the state, including just recently threatening transportation funds to be cut from the state of California. It's ongoing war with the state and war on facts. He's incapable of being honest with himself and the American people. And he once again completely misleads people and continues to mislead people as it relates to California's role and responsibility in these fires and his own role and responsibility in these fires.
What is his role and responsibility in these fires, do you think?
He's president of the United States, and he has a responsibility from a federal perspective to manage the 57% of the acreages in the state that are under his jurisdiction. He has significantly cut forest management budgets over the last three fiscal years as the state of California has substantially increased their investments, more than doubling the amount of forest acres we've treated, tripling the amount of prescribed burns. He knows that. I've told him that personally, and he rhetorically told me I need to do more raking. And I'm not making that up. He quite literally, in a private conversation, not just in a public statement, which was picked up in the national news, but privately said, "Where are you on the raking of your forest?" I mean, it's not a serious person.
Like physically raking the forest.
Like physically. I mean, it's you can't. It's I know even saying you can't make it up is not even interesting and novel, because we say that about so many things. But this is serious. Serious business. I tried, and you may have seen this, I hope others listening, you know, I tried to do my best to reach out to the president during last week's challenges and made personal calls. He didn't bother to get back. I don't mind that. I praised his administration, FEMA, for not playing politics, but he's incapable of anything but politics. And it's just an unfortunate moment in American history.
Well, you have threatened a state takeover of PG&E if it doesn't pull itself out of bankruptcy and improve its grid ahead of the next fire season, although I guess we're constantly in fire season these days. So what would that look like, a state takeover?
We're gaming that out. It's more complicated than it appears. There have been efforts in the past to municipalize PG&E. As a former mayor of San Francisco, I'm quite familiar with those efforts. But PG&E operates in 48 counties. Of the 58 in the state of California, one county taking over a few of the assets does not make a system takeover. So there's limits to those approaches. A statewide approach has profound consequences, not just on PG&E, but potentially on how the capital markets react to the other investor-owned utilities, the Southern California utilities, both in San Diego and Southern California proper, Edison. And so we're gaming that out. I've hired three different groups to advise what that would look like. And in real time, we are gaming that out.
Because it would cost billions of dollars, right, to do that?
Well, you not only have the asset costs, but you have the liabilities on the other side. And as everybody knows, PG&E is a bankrupt utility. They haven't even settled with those that were impacted by the 2018 historic wildfires that President Trump himself visited up in particularly Butte County. And so we are working to get all the parties together. In fact, meeting tomorrow with one of the new mediators the bankruptcy judge has just hired, and working in concert with him to try to broker settlement on all of these claims so that we can move this to the next phase, get them out of bankruptcy, completely reimagined. And if they're unsuccessful at doing that, then proceed with next steps on a potential state overlay and oversight and takeover.
And what about doing something like having more municipal-owned utilities or more publicly-owned utilities, that things that they're trying out in Oakland? Is that a better way to go, to decentralize that way?
I'm all for that. And as I noted, San Francisco's own interest, San Jose's interest, Oakland and others. Again, the challenge is it's a system that operates in 48 counties, not just in one city, not just in one county. So you can piecemeal this, but then you've actually created more problems, not less. Everybody wants the best asset, the one that is in their local jurisdiction. This transcends jurisdictions, goes from all the way up at the Oregon border down to Santa Barbara County. So we have to look at it systemically, or at least regionally, and another backup strategy to traditional municipalization, which by definition is city and town, mm-hmm. is looking at regional grids, decentralized, and looking at PG&E not as a large corpus, but in terms of bite-sized pieces that could be managed in an autonomous way, in an effective and more manageable way.
And do you expect there to be more power shutoffs? I know you've come out strongly against them, but is there anything else that the utility can do right now in the short run?
Well, we launched a major investigation going back a week ago at the Public Utilities Commission. I have a new president of the Public Utilities Commission who's there with one single purpose, and that's to do the kind of aggressive oversight that's been candidly lacking over there for decades now. It's not only PG&E's mismanagement and decades of underinvestment and undergrounding and hardening and modernizing their grid and microgrids and the like. It's also the PUC and the state, and we all have to acknowledge that. And I will do my best just 10 months into my administration not to be part of the problem, but be part of the solution. And so we're being aggressive on the power shutoffs and new protocols, new information that is being gathered in real time on that preparation of next year's fire season, so we do not see the scale and scope of the power shutoffs that we've experienced this last few months.
I don't know if you saw this, but a couple of columnists last week got a lot of attention for writing that basically the combination of these devastating wildfires and the high housing costs have basically made California no longer livable. Farhad Manju in the New York Times, who lives here and has lived here, I think, all his life, has questioned the long-term viability of California. He said it's the end of California as we know it. I mean, what do you say to him and to others, people who aren't columnists, who are saying, you know, enough, I'm going to leave the state. I can't, this is too much.
I'm not that old, but I've been through this on ad nauseum occasions. Last 2 years were exponentially more devastating. We are doing, I think, a very admirable job at suppression and pre-positioning. We also today had an announcement. We got $2.5 billion from one corporation in California on our affordable housing efforts, in addition to billions we've received from other corporations. I put $1.75 billion, $1.75 billion into our housing efforts, jumpstarting our commitment to address these affordability. If we were sitting on our hands, none of those things were occurring, if there was no history to guide this moment, maybe that punditry is right, but I think it's frankly a little hyperbolic and a little unfortunate, because a lot of extraordinary things are happening in the state, and I'm very proud of its resilience. And I think its best days are ahead of it.
California Governor Gavin Newsom, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.